This event was recorded at the inaugural Books, Borders and Bikes Festival at Traquair House in August 2010.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Tom Pough, and it's my pleasure this afternoon to introduce you to Alistair Moffat for a discussion of his book on the Highland Clans. Alistair, this is his coming into his particular season at the moment, or it used to be, because Alistair presided over the Edinburgh Festival Fringe when it went through its massive explosion. So he is used to all the debates that we're hearing now. The Fringe is too big, the festival's too small, get rid of the Fringe, get rid of the festival. He used to have these bing-bong arguments all the time during his tenure. He left the Fringe and went into television, rising to become director of programmes at Scottish Television, leaving there to concentrate on writing, since when he's amassed a very impressive list of books, mainly historical books, but in addition to that, a wonderful memoir called Homing. Many of his books are about parts of Scottish history that are underexplored, the borders, the sea kingdoms. A book coming out very soon is on kingdoms that have disappeared, that aren't acknowledged in Scottish history now. And we're here to discuss the Highland Clans, this beautiful book, beautifully written, beautifully illustrated. And we're going to begin with hearing a reading from it. Alistair Moffat.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you, and thank you for coming, and thanks for inviting me to this place so associated with the 1745 rebellion. But once I've finished reading, don't expect the Bear Gates to open behind me. I think they'll close with an even bigger clang than you might expect. What I'd like to do is just read the opening of the book. I always think that's a good thing because one assumes that most people here haven't read it. So it's in order to give some context to what Tom and I will talk about. So let me just read a little bit. There would be a battle, and soon. It was to be the last battle, although no one could know it at the time, the last pitched battle to be fought on British soil. Murdoch MacLeod had watched the clan regiments converge on Inverness for 2 months. Now the government army was not far behind, approaching fast on the East Road, it was said, and its supporting fleet had been sighted in the Murray Firth. With no further retreat possible, Prince Charles would have to turn his undefeated Highland army and make a stand. At Preston Pans and Falkirk, their fearless and furious charges had scattered the redcoats and slaughtered them in their hundreds as they ran for their lives. There would be a battle, another certain victory for the clans and their rightful king. And when it came, Murdoch MacLeod was determined to fight, determined on glory. He was 15 years old. On the 15th of April, 1746, the clans mustered on Drummossie Moor near Culloden House, about 6 miles east of Inverness. The town was aflame with the news that battle would be joined the following day. Murdoch made his plans. Instead of going out to the grammar school, he hurried away east out of the town. Somehow, he acquired a broadsword, a shield and a dirk, perhaps taking them from a bivouac of sleeping clansmen. Murdoch may have been a schoolboy playing truant, but in his secret heart he was a warrior, a clansman. When the time came, he would remember who he was and fight for the prince and for his own people. He would be a MacLeod. It began to rain, a slanting cold rain billowing out of the west over the dark heads of the mountains. When Murdoch at last reached Drummossie Moor, nothing could have prepared the boy for the enormity of what he saw. Two armies faced each other. Regiments of redcoats stood in line, many of their officers on horseback behind them, and batteries of black cannon were emplaced at regular intervals. Drums rattled and orders were called out over the morning moor. "Stand fast and look to your fronts," roared the sergeants. The Duke of Cumberland rode up and down with his aides. stopping occasionally to put a spyglass to his eye to try to make out through the rain